Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 18.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to our penultimate episode of Season 18. The season has flown so quickly, I can't believe next week is our finale already. And not only is next week's finale one that you certainly don't want to miss, this week's episode, our penultimate episode, is one hell of a story, and yes, pun intended. There are very few experiences that we receive where somebody comments within their experience that it changed their entire outlook on life. But that's what we have today. And to say it's food for thought would certainly be an understatement. But in regards to Season 19, which is heading our way within only a few weeks, we've already received a shedload of submissions from you wonderful listeners. But we always want more. So, if you have your own paranormal experience that you wish to share with The Dark Paranormal, email us at contact@thedarkparanormal.com. Some of the experiences for next season I genuinely have not read the likes of. And yes, as usual, I've plotted out next season. But also as usual, as you know, it's a fluid sort of setup here. Therefore, if the right experience comes in, I will make sure it finds a place in that upcoming season. So once more, that's contact@thedarkparanormal.com. Now, I did mention last week that Season 20 will be our last numbered season, and from there on out, we will just be known as The Dark Paranormal. The show still will run in seasonal format, because even podcasters need a break now and again, and on your podcatcher of choice, it will undoubtedly still say Season 21, 22, etc. It just won't be announced at the beginning. And it's from that point we will be looking at refreshing the music, and maybe a few other additions. One addition we did allude to last week, which our patrons found out about this week, is that from Season 19 onwards, we will also be doing a video version of Dark Realms. So that will release the same day on our YouTube channel, which is up and running already, and has just the audio there, but if you head over to youtube.com/thedarkparanormal, you'll be able to subscribe and be ready for when we start doing our Dark Realms videos next season. And like I say, our patrons found out about that last week because our patrons, of course, get the exclusive news first. They also receive each and every episode on this main feed, both early and ad-free. They also have the opportunity to get access to our entire back catalogue of Dark Bites. Dark Bites, in fact, is an additional podcast only for Patreons, where we take a look at some of the shorter experiences that we've received that didn't make the main show. And there is well over 100 hours of Patreon-only content in that back catalogue. Not only that, there's a brand new Dark Bites each and every Sunday of the year, even during the break in seasons. So, with a break in seasons coming up, now is the best time to join what I genuinely believe is the best paranormal community out there. Head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And at the end of every single show, we proudly read out the names of all of our newest team members. So head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, it's time. Lower those lights, make yourself comfortable, and most importantly of all, leave your disbelief at the door, as we hear all about the haunting of Old North Circular Road. Hello, Kevin. I've been a long-time listener of the show. I would like to remain anonymous for this submission, so I've changed my name to Rose. All other details of this experience that changed not only my world view, but my entire life, remain the same. Hearing other people's paranormal experiences on this podcast has made me feel less alone, so thank you for the work you do. I need to give you some background on my own set of beliefs, as it will contextualize my transformation. Ireland is an extremely Catholic country. It has been for a large chunk of its history. All of our primary and secondary and some third-level education buildings are actually still church-owned. You have to go to a non-denomination school or a school that has no religious affiliation if you want to get around that, but they are few and far between. This is mainly because the Catholic Church in Ireland owns most of the land these institutions are built on. And so, with that, children who enter these primary schools, even up to now, will need to get their baptism, communion, and confirmation. So, even if their parents aren't fully in the faith, or they're lapsed or full atheists, it's hard to escape the Catholic traditions that are woven into every single part of our society and milestones in life. Everyone that I know personally and have known my whole life has been buried with a church funeral, even though they barely went their whole life whilst they were alive. With all that being said, I grew up culturally Catholic, like nearly everyone else on this little island, until I got to my teenage years. Then I completely rebelled against the lukewarm teachings I was told to believe, and I was evangelized, so to speak, by the new atheist movement, the likes of Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris and so on. I fell into different schools of thought and philosophies, and as you often do when you go down this route, ending up in nihilism. I had a very dark outlook on the world. I'm older now and a lot wiser, and I've since realized those arguments put forward by the atheist movement can offer no real meaning to humans, or no real foundation in which to plant ourselves as we endure life's sufferings. But back then, being an atheist was my identity. I laughed at the church. I thought it was all backwards. That was until I moved into the Old North Circular Road. It was there the veil between the logical and the supernatural was torn. Ireland has a housing crisis, the worst in Europe. So when I heard back after dozens of applications from an old basement flat in a Georgian house about 350 years old, I knew I had to go and see it. You can look up North Circular Road on Google Maps. It's one of the oldest roads in Dublin. All along the Georgian brick houses are ancient trees. And if you look at the houses, there are still little hooks built into the pavement. That's where they would tether horses 2 years ago. The houses, and this street in particular, have seen many, many decades come and go. As I stepped onto the road, out of nowhere I got this feeling of pure despair. There's no other way to explain it. As I got nearer to this flat, I immediately began getting drained. An instinct kicked in that told me to turn and walk away. But that was totally and completely irrational. So I ignored it and I pushed on. I don't even know if I can call this space a flat. It didn't meet the standard of human rights for a person to dwell in. It was a converted coal shed in the basement. It had no windows, and I had two doors, the front door in, and the back door that led to the rest of the house. It was barely bigger than a standard sitting room. And as I stepped over the barrier to greet the landlord, I almost thought I would burst out crying. I couldn't understand why I was suddenly feeling these big emotions. The landlord stepped out and allowed me to look around, and the rational part of my brain said, "Take out your phone, take some pictures so you can show your partner. He'll want to see what it looks like, what the space is like." But my whole body felt like it was stuck in quicksand. I stayed like that for a few moments, frozen. It was only when the landlord poked his head back in and asked if everything was okay, I forced my leg to move over towards the light switch. As I said, there were no windows in here and no working appliances, so to take the photos, I'd need to go and put that light on. And as I reached out to flip that switch, a bolt of energy shot up from the light switch to the bulb, and the bulb blew out completely, shattering glass everywhere. My first thought wasn't, "This is a supernatural event." My first thought was, "Oh, feck. I'm after causing an electrical fault and damage to the property. Am I going to have to pay for this?" But looking back now, that was probably the first warning sign. I knew my partner would hate it, but I also knew that we had no other options, and if I said no, no other offers were coming in. I'd signed a contract, and the landlord was delighted. We finalised everything out in the front garden. Again, the further I got away from that house, the more I felt my energy coming back. Walking back towards the city centre, I called my partner to begin convincing him why this was a good idea. I began, "So much better," and I started to gaslight myself, thinking maybe it was anxiety about moving to a new place. Maybe it was my imagination acting up. The flat was fine, not too bad at all. All of the logical reasons came flooding into my brain. The move-in date was set, and I went over a couple of hours early to get a head start on the cleaning. My partner was due to come in and see it for the first time later that evening, so I was at the sink scrubbing the dishes. There was no heating in this place, so the water was freezing. My hands were turning pink, and I suddenly feel this pressure all along my back. It wasn't like someone's hands were pushing me at all. It was more like this slight pressure from my head to my feet, moving me out towards the door. But it didn't have hands, if that makes any sense. It was like a full body gently pushing, like being swept away by a current, almost. I turned around and nothing was there. So my logical self just went back to doing the dishes. When I began scrubbing the grime off the walls, I went to rinse the sponge in the water. And I realised that I was suddenly outside in the front garden. I don't remember walking there. I don't remember even thinking it was something I wanted to do. And I wouldn't bring the sponge out, soaking myself, making my hands further cold. It may seem like I'm putting a lot of emphasis on my cold hands, but you need to understand this experience was so unsettling. The only thing I knew for sure about anything was the physicality of it. I knew that my hands were cold. I knew they were wet. I knew I was cleaning. And then I knew I was suddenly outside, with no memory of ever getting there. And sometimes it feels like that experience is just going to get rationalized to a point where I don't recognize it anymore. but I keep coming back to myself and coming back into my body and anchoring myself in the physicality of it. I didn't walk out there. I knew where I was and I knew what I was doing. And again, this feeling of dread and a massive energy drain came over me. It felt full of sorrow, for no apparent reason. But things needed doing, so I went on to clean the bathroom. After 20 minutes or so, I found myself outside in the front garden again. Now I'm beginning to get really freaked out, and so I told myself I must have just come out here because I wanted to ring my partner. So with shaking hands, I dialed his number. He said he was 30 seconds away. Moments later, he came into the front gate and he stopped just outside, like he'd walked into a glass door. And he turns to me and says, "I don't want to go in there." Now, my partner is like me, very rational. He's very stable. When I asked him why, he said, "I don't know. It's just a feeling." Mind you, all animals, dogs, and people, young and old, they all love my partner. His energy is very well balanced. He's optimistic, a happy-go-lucky person. But over the weeks and months that we lived there, he began to change. He became much more sullen, withdrawn, quick to anger. He's never been like that in the 11 years I've known him. And since we moved out of there, he's never been like that since. The only way I can explain what happened to our mind and bodies when in there, it was like when we stepped into the flat, we entered a space of hopelessness. A place where no happiness, no joy, no lightness can exist. And once you went in there, you almost took on the persona of someone else. Or something else. Something that didn't believe in goodness. Something that had no hope in the future. Everything was just bleak.
Taxes was waiting around for your taxes to be done, which led to worrying about not getting any money back. Now Taxes is matching with a TurboTax expert who can do your taxes in a day to get you up to $4,000 fast with a refund advance loan. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Expert filing only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Refund advance has $0 loan fees and 0% APR. Refund advance loans may be issued by First Century Bank, N.A. or Web Bank. Terms apply, subject to approval.
From the very first night there, I began getting sleep paralysis. Of course, I looked up the scientific reasons why a person would experience sleep paralysis. And that's all well and good if it's just one person that experiences it. But this time, my partner did too. In this frozen state, and in my mind's eye, a creature crawled up my body. This creature had long, dark hair, and a face that was pure evil. Now, we hear a lot in stories going around, and we've read it in horror books. But I knew when I looked in its eyes that this is what real, pure hatred looks like. And that from just seeing it in a few seconds, I had lost a part of my innocence forever. Not childhood innocence or mental innocence, a loss of innocence at a much deeper level. My breathing became erratic, and in my head, I was screaming out for my partner who was laying next to me playing the video game The Witcher. I felt his hand move onto my chest, and then the next thing I know, I felt him jump out of bed, knocking his controller to the floor. That was enough to take me out of that frozen state, and he immediately turned on every light in the flat. I asked him what was wrong, and he said he felt something shift off my chest onto his arm and cling onto him, weighing him down. And that's why he jumped up. So I told him what I was seeing whilst in that frozen state. I'm sorry if my writing is flat and that I'm not using any flowery language. I'm just trying to get the factual things that happened across to you in the best possible way. So forgive me if you have to do a lot of rework on this to make it palatable. The next thing that happened was my partner was asleep in bed. I left early for work, and as he was waking up, he felt the bed get depressed on the side closest to the door, like someone was sitting there. And in his half-awake, half-dream state, he started to talk to me. And he felt the depression on the bed move closer and closer. He reached out to touch me, as I didn't respond. But when he did, he realized no one was there. Again, he jumped up and ran out of the flat. We knew that something was going on that wasn't explainable, like our energy levels or the decline in our mental health. So we went to a New Age spiritual shop for help. We bought some sage and we were recommended to burn some Palo Santo wood. But nothing, and I mean nothing, worked. No high frequency music, no white magic practices with salt or anything. Nothing worked. I eventually told my ma what was happening, and when she came to visit, she left a thick hardcover Bible, which I only noticed after she left. She left it discreetly. Otherwise, she would have known I would have been annoyed. I paid no further mind to it, but I made a mental note to drop it back over to her the following week. One night, as we stayed up talking, we saw a shadow pass underneath the door. We didn't hear anyone out there, and opposite to that door is a wall, so the shadow would have nowhere to go. We both exchanged glances. After that, we heard things dropping in our wardrobe. It sounds like stones may be falling onto one of the shelves. So we took everything out and found a hole in the ceiling. My partner got a dustpan and brush and started sweeping it out. A maggot fell out. Then another and another. Then so many fell out of the wardrobe and onto the floor. We checked and rechecked if something was up there dead, but we found no trace of anything like that. I felt like I'd never be clean again, but living there felt like that both mentally and physically. On top of that, the bathroom had a very specific smell. It was like sweet mold dampness mixed with cigar smoke, and we could never get it out. When I began writing this account last week, the night I finished up the first part and told my partner I'd be sending it in, the very same smell flooded our ensuite bathroom, but only that room. Bear in mind now, we're in a different place. We own our own home in a different part of the city. That's not something we can explain either. It was like we caught its attention again by speaking about it. But anyway, back to the story. One night, as we're about to go to sleep, we hear scratching all over our roof. It sounded so erratic, and it was a high-speed scratching. It sounded like there was a dog going crazy upstairs. So the day after, we asked if animals were permitted in the house, and we got confirmation that they were not. And also the person above us had no pets. The sleep paralysis, the mood swings, the maggots, the scratching would happen every single night. We moved our bed around to a different corner of the room to see if we would sleep better. So now our bed was in between the two doors. And again, I fell into sleep paralysis. This was the worst one. In my mind's eye, the front door cracked open a little bit and the chain was bolted. But I could see the eye of a man who was clearly angry. Angry and wanting to get into the flat. He had a very distinctive face. I could feel his fury. The door that led to the rest of the house suddenly opened in my mind's eye, and what was out there was darkness. And all I remember thinking was, this is a darkness that is blacker than black. It's blacker than night itself. This darkness was so completely unnatural. Then, my leg was lifted up and I was being dragged out into the darkness. I heard voices say, we're going to drag you to hell if you don't leave. In unison, like a choir of voices coming from my throat. My partner was fast asleep, so he couldn't pull me out. My heart was racing so fast, I thought I was dying, and that this would never end. I heard another voice, but this one came from within me. It said in the Bible. At first I was confused. Then I remembered my ma dropped hers in. I tried to move my lips to shout, Bible, so it would wake my partner up. After the fourth agonizing attempt, my voice broke through, at first faint, then stronger. As soon as my partner turned around to see what was going on, I was broken out of that horrible frozen state. I was sweating profusely, and I jumped out of bed. I checked the front door. It was locked shut. I thought I was losing my mind. Every part of me down to my core was in terror. Terror I'd never felt before. I couldn't even answer my partner to communicate what had just happened. I thrashed around the room and finally found the Bible. Before this, I don't even think I ever opened or touched a Bible of my volition. In our schools, we didn't do Bible study like in America. We had plain Jane religion books and hymn books. We were never taught about the Bible directly. And we never read from it either, not in school or at home. That would cause an uproar with the parents. Again, we are a culturally Catholic country, and most teachers who are lapsed themselves do the bare minimum to please the owners of the land the school is on. That's it. So I don't know where to look. I just knew I needed to read something aloud. Anything would do. I opened it randomly on Matthew 22:13, where Jesus describes the outer darkness in a place devoid of God and hope. It read, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside, into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. I just began reading this out loud, walking round in circles. I've never read those words before, but I knew in my heart I'd seen the outer darkness as described in real life. A darkness so complete, I can never forget it. The atmosphere began to lift a bit and a supernatural peace came over both me and my partner. We stayed up until sunlight, and soon as a cafe nearby opened up, we ran there. I told my partner everything I'd seen in that state. As I described the man I saw, he confessed that every night, whilst he was cooking, out of the corner of his eye, he would see the same man. But when he turned round fully or opened the door, no one would be there. He didn't want to disturb me, so he kept it to himself. So this entity was revealing itself to my partner in the real world, and to me in the dream world. We went over to my mam soon after, and when she saw the sleep-deprived state of us, she brought us down to the church and got us both anointed with oil. As soon as we got that cross on our foreheads, we both felt like a weight had been lifted off us, and again we felt a supernatural peace come over us. The priest told us to go there every night to the church near the flat and get the Eucharist. I told him we don't believe. And are we even allowed to get it, considering that? He said because we'd now been baptized, we forever have a right to get it. And no matter how far we strayed, no matter how long we strayed, we were always welcomed back. From that night, we went to Mass every day. The whole atmosphere of the flat changed. It felt like we pushed the darkness out slightly, and just our small space was sanctified. No more sleep paralysis, no intense mood swings. As soon as our contract was up, we left and we never looked back. We found out later that the landlord had thrown out the old man we had seen when he was admitted to hospital and was dying. A disgusting thing to do. And as this man lay dying, the landlord threw his belongings out into the garden. It was the talk of the whole road. When we both saw a photo of the man, it confirmed everything to us. What we went through was real. We had to accept that this world has things we cannot see nor understand. We know for sure there is a supernatural evil, and so now we know for sure there is a supernatural good, which is God. One cannot exist without the other. We are now devout Catholics. My faith has healed my mind, body, and soul. And on a daily basis, I still experience that supernatural peace. But added on is a joy, a sound mind, contentment, intellectual and spiritual satisfaction. The whole world and our experience of life now makes sense in a way that those atheist books or man-made philosophies could never. Because man's wisdom is foolish to God's wisdom. My faith is the best thing about my life, and trust me, I am very lucky in terms of what my life looks like on paper. But none of that matters. Only the fact that God called me home, even if he had to get to me through that demonic experience. Now, I know how people get with the mention of God or religion. All hell breaks loose. Excuse my pun, a bit of comedy is needed sometimes. So if you're unable to read this out the way the world is now, I understand. But that doesn't matter to me. If it is only you that sees this, that's enough. I hear so many stories of hauntings on this podcast. They tend to end with something like, the priest did a prayer, or I prayed and it went away, but I'm still not religious, or I still don't believe in God, etc. I have to admit that's very ironic. Across all the hauntings, possessions, supernatural happenings in the world, the main cure always seems to be the church, or prayer to God. People will so readily accept the reality of the demonic, or bad energy, but when it comes to the good, they don't seem to want to hear it. I will say for lapsed Catholics, I get it. The faith and its teachings are so terribly represented and taught. I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd encounter the supernatural. And never in a million years did I think I'd come back to the faith in my 20s, at the peak of my self-obsessed girl boss stage in life. But God works in mysterious ways. Take care, Rose. Well, that's not where it ends, because a few days later, I received the following update from Rose. Since submitting this, my husband came under a horrible spiritual attack. He had the most horrifically violent dreams and sleep paralysis, seeing the same man. We are shaken up. But just wanted to say, if you don't mention that it was God that saved us, don't read this out. We did not save ourselves from that evil. God did, and he deserves the credit. Well, Rose, or be that not your real name, thank you beyond belief for that amazing penultimate experience. And you have some very strong opinions, obviously, about your religion. I too am a Catholic. I am a lapsed Catholic. And I would never not put out somebody's experience with the supernatural because of a religion they sided with. It is the dark element of the supernatural we want to discuss, we want to look at, and we want to investigate. And if attached to that is somebody's faith, I don't see any reason why it should not be read out. And you are quite right in what you say at the end. Many of our experiences do end with some sort of church or priestly or religious-esque solution. Also, within regards to Catholicism, they feature as a religion so prominently in these demonic cases, if you will, because other religions don't do that sort of thorough cleansing or exorcising, if you will, of a place or even a person. Other religions have been known to even move people towards the Catholic Church to solve their demonic problems. Not that other religions don't have their own version of someone who could perform a cleansing or something similar, but you're quite right, the majority of cases, at least in the Western world, people are pushed towards the Catholic Church. And there may well be people out there who will say, no, I know an exorcist, and they're not Catholic, but I could become an exorcist online and have a certificate that says I'm an exorcist. The difference is to become a Catholic priest who is chosen by the diocese as an exorcist, you have to go to Rome and attend the training over a period of weeks. And even though I'm Catholic, stepping away from that, because as I say, I am very lapsed in my Catholicism, stepping away from that and looking at evangelical people. So when you see, and we've all seen them, these videos of somebody in a suit screaming, Jesus saves you, and somebody writhing on the floor. And it's not a Catholic thing, and I'm not saying it doesn't work, but that would be down to more, I expect, the power of belief and the power of suggestion. It seems, with regards to the Catholic Church and the training of how to become an exorcist and indeed how they carry out such things, it's very much chalk and cheese. In terms of one, seems to be very performance orientated. The other is largely done in secret. For example, if someone believes they are possessed and they believe this evangelical minister can deliver them from evil, it will all work. But if the same person went to a Catholic church, they'd be put through some rigorous testing, and the outcome would be they believe they're possessed. They're not possessed. Yet, solely from a human mental health perspective, it's kind of irrelevant to a point, because if that person believes themselves to be possessed, and they go to where they need to be cleansed, and to them it works, then it works. If somebody is actually possessed and they go to where they need to get help and it works, then it works. I would only imagine believing you are possessed by a demon can be just as harrowing as being possessed by a demon. And I will end by saying that is something I hope I only ever have to imagine. Secondly, Rose, in your email, you say you're sorry if the language is flat or if it's not flowery enough. I read verbatim what you put in that email because it's your experience. And this podcast is not about flowery language. In fact, one of our biggest red flags amongst our small team when going through the submissions is if somebody overuses or over-embellishes something rather mundane or average. That's usually a red flag. It's a fake experience. So, Rose, thank you for both your experience, your opinions, because I think all opinions in regards to religion should be discussed and should be debated, because there is a world of difference between submitting an experience saying, please don't read this out unless you say God saved us because I believe he did, and saying don't read this out because I believe in God and I am right and you are wrong if you don't. There's a world of difference between I believe and I'm correct. So Rose, thank you so much for one of the most memorable penultimate episodes I think we've ever had. And please do keep us updated if, pardon the pun, God forbid, anything does continue to happen. But once again, thank you for your amazing experience. And don't forget, guys, as we said at the start of the show, if you have your own paranormal experience you want to share, email us at contact@thedarkparanormal.com. And now we've reached my favourite part of the show, where we thank the wonderful members of our Patreon team who've signed up recently and get all of those exclusive perks like early access to episodes, ad-free, and of course, they can gain access to that entire back catalogue of Dark Bites with over 100 hours of episodes. just by heading over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And our newest community team members are Louise, Peter B, Ryland, A. Fitzgibbons, Mo, Grifter, Short Lynn, Sam X, Chris, Tiffany McGraw, Danielle, Narey, Joe Schmidt, Kelly Murphy, The Karate Fan, Jason Boussel, Jenny Lynn, Josh Probst, Allison, Heather White, Rebecca Wright, and Jesse Best Best. Thank you so much, guys, for supporting the podcast. It means the world to me. And well done on joining what I think is genuinely the best community in regards to the paranormal anywhere out there. Don't forget, if you'd like to sign up, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And with our finale coming up just next week, those guys will be getting that early and ad-free, as they will the debut episode of Season 19. But I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us here for this amazing experience from Rose. Please return next week for our finale. You won't want to miss it. And until then, remember, when you're discussing the paranormal, always try and leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next week for our finale here on The Dark Paranormal.